following message is from New Life Gillette series, Created. This week, Pastor Paul brings us part two of this series.
I'm Paul, one of the pastors here at New Life. If you're new here, it is great having you with us. I know some of you are here for the dedications that we're going to share after the service. So welcome to all of you here in the room. To those of you who are watching online, welcome, no matter where you are around the country or maybe even around the world. And also, we want to say welcome to the guys over at the prison. We just are so thankful that we have an opportunity to be there with you today as well. Today, we're in a second week of a sermon series called Created. And what an exciting sermon series it is. Mike started off last week, and what a great time. And for me, when I start thinking about the word created, there's something in my life that I just love thinking about. Does anybody here like Legos as much as I do? There's a few of you out there. I love Legos. I love everything about Legos. And, you know, as I was getting ready for today, I was thinking a lot about them. And I think it's one of the greatest inventions ever. And I actually thought that it was invented during my lifetime back when I was a kid, but I was wrong. Do you know when these things were invented? 1949. Now, if Mike was here, he would say, well, Paul, you were alive back then. And that's not true. I wasn't alive that long ago. But I love Legos. I love everything you can do with them. I love how some toys, they disappear after a period of time. Like, does anybody else here ever have a Stretch Armstrong? There's a couple of you out there. They're not around anymore. But Legos are still around. We're still building with them. I love watching kids build with Legos. And like this one. This is my son, Daniel, and one of his friends, and they're working on Legos together. I love all of my kids have loved playing with Legos, and I love watching them. The creativity and figuring things out and how different shapes go with different things. And for me, the other cool thing is, do you know who these Legos were originally? They were mine. My mom held on to them after my brother and I grew up, and then when my mom passed away, my wife and I inherited them to share them with our kids. And so I love watching kids play with Legos. And you think about Legos and how important they are to us. What are we talking about them today is because we're talking about this thing called created. You know, created is such a powerful word. If you think about that word and what it means and everything that goes with it, the idea, no matter what we're creating, but as we look at from the idea of God, the idea of created is such an exciting and powerful word. And so we're going to be looking at this idea of created. And of course, Legos is in my mind as I'm thinking of created. Well, last week, Pastor Mike started us off on this as he took us all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible to begin that story of the God story, to help us understand that God created. And when God created, he created on purpose. You know, he shared that understanding at the very beginning of the Bible, and Mike helped us to understand what we should believe about that early story of creation and why we should believe it, why it's so important to believe. You know, God created on purpose. It wasn't willy-nilly. It wasn't scattered. It was intentional. It was systematic. God had a plan. He created on purpose. There was a reason why he created. And it's so exciting to see that understanding of God's creation that Mike started into sharing us last week. Well, this week, we're going to take another step to our understanding of this creation process. And we're going to get to understand that God didn't just create on purpose, but God also created on purpose for a purpose. What do we mean by that? Well, let's think about Legos again. You know, when we're creating with Legos, we're just not slapping blocks together. Well, maybe some people do, but usually we're creating on purpose for a purpose. For instance, when Daniel was he loves to make little Lego cars. He makes them all the time. Well, he doesn't just make them and then set them aside and ignore them. He creates them on purpose for the purpose of playing with them. If he creates a little garage for his matchbox cars out of Legos, he doesn't set it aside and then go play with his matchboxes. No, he created the garage for the purpose of putting the cars in there. And so that's what we're talking about here, that God didn't just create on purpose. He created for a purpose. And the way we're going to get to understand this a little bit better is we're going to jump into one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And yes, I have a lot of favorite passages of Scripture, but we're going to look at one today that David wrote. David was one of the great Bible heroes. And I just love David. He lived about 300 years or so before Jesus walked the earth. And as we look at this, the story of David, he eventually became one of the great kings of Israel. But before he became a great king, we find him in the early pages before that, where David is just getting to know God, just spending deep time with God over and over. And that led him to be what was called in scripture. It says he was a man after God's own heart. And so we're going to tap into some of the things that David shared, because the cool thing about David, when he was growing in this relationship with God, he wrote a lot of his thoughts down. And we find a lot of those thoughts that David wrote down into the place in the Bible that we call the Book of Psalms. There's 150 different psalms in that book, and we're going to be looking at one in particular that David wrote to help us understand this idea how God created on purpose for a purpose. We're going to be looking at Psalm 139. And David, as he starts this off, he starts it like this. He says, "O Lord, you have examined my heart. You look deeply into my heart, God, and you know everything about me." You know, so we're talking about this idea of created. You think about, here's David thinking about God and how he created him. And he says, "God, you know me and you examined me." And you think about some of those things that we create at different times. You know, some of you create, yesterday for lunch, you might've created an amazing peanut butter and jelly sandwich, extra peanut butter both on both slices of bread. You know, and you, when you make something created like that, man, you just get excited about it. You examine it, you look at it. For some of you, maybe you've created, some of you built an engine before. You know, my son last year, he created his own computer. He got all the different parts and he put them all together, and now he has a computer that he uses. For some of you, maybe it's creating something at work, or maybe some of you, it's getting out your artwork and creating something. For all of us, we've created something. When we do create something, possibly even with Legos, when we create it, we get to know that thing that we create. We examine it. We get to look deeply into it. Part of it during the creation process, and part of it just because we love what we create. Well, that's what David is talking about here, that, "Oh Lord, you've examined my heart." The creator looks deeply into the heart of David. And David understand this heart, this word for heart back in when David was writing it, they didn't know anatomy like we do today. So they didn't understand what the brain did and things like that. So for the Israelites, then they looked at the heart. They were thinking about, it was the center of all that they were. All of their emotions came from the heart. All of their thoughts, all of their words, all of their actions, their personality, everything about them emulated, it came out of the heart. And so what is David saying here? "Oh Lord, you've examined all of me and you've gotten to know everything about me." David sees God in this created process, and David realizes that God knows a lot about him. And then it's that word "know" that we got to, in this first section that David writes, we got to understand this word because he uses it so many times. The word "know" comes from the Hebrew word yada. Now, for you Star Wars people out there, you know, this is not Yoda. This is not the little green guy. This is the Hebrew word yada. Say that with me. Yada. See, you're becoming Hebrew scholars here this morning. The word yada means to know. And David uses this in the first section of Psalm 139. You're going to see he uses this over and over again. Well, what does this word "to know" mean? Well, for instance, all of us here know about the place called McDonald's, don't we? Is there anybody here that has never eaten at McDonald's before? All right, so we all know at least about McDonald's. It's a place that serves burgers and fries and nuggets and some milkshakes. Yeah, some of you are excited about it. You know, many of us, we all know about McDonald's. But there's some of you here in the room that yada McDonald's, because the word yada is a word of depth. It's a word of intensity. It's a word of intimacy. For some of you, you worked at McDonald's, and so you got to know what works back in the kitchen, and so you learn more about how things work there. For some of you, because you care about what you put in your body, you've researched a little bit about the nutritional value that, of the food that we eat when we go to McDonald's. So you yadad, you got to know deeply and intimately of what we're talking about there. David, when he's looking at God and seeing how God knows him, it's not, God doesn't just know about us, God yadas us. And we begin to see how much David understands this, because he wants us to know that God intentionally and intimately knows us, and he knows us deeply. And we see this as David continues on in this section. He says this, he says, "God, you know when I sit down, when I stand up, you yada my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know, or yada, everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. David very quickly gets the understanding, and he finds out as he spends time with God how much deeply God knows us. He knows us deeply. He knows us well. He knows us intentionally. He knows us intimately. Now, for some of you, as you hear this word that David is sharing with you, some of you are a little concerned all of a sudden. And you start asking the question, wait a second, you're saying that God knows me completely, intensely, intimately? Yes. Wait a second, Pastor Paul, are you saying that God knew what I was doing last night? Are you saying that God knew what I was looking at online yesterday? Are you saying that God knew how I spoke at my wife yesterday? Are you saying that God knew how much time I spent on Pinterest when I could have been playing with my kids? And David's answer to all of those questions would be yes, absolutely. God didn't just create haphazardly and just set us aside and not want to know us. Instead, God created us on purpose for a purpose. And so we wonder, what is that purpose then that God created us? Because God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to spend time with us. And so he wants to know us and know us deeply. You know, as we think about this journey that God has us on, you know, it takes us again all the way back to what Mike was sharing with us last week. As he takes us back into the book of Genesis, where it's there that God is, he's creating all the different parts of creation. And after he creates we humans, it's that everything else was really good. It was good, God said. And then in verse 27, God says, God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then in verse 31, it says, then God looked over all that he had made after we humans were created, and he saw that it was very good. Why? Because God created on purpose for the purpose of having someone that he can finally share life with. And so God was excited to be able to share that life with us. As David began to ponder these opening thoughts in this passage, as he looked and realized how much God is a God that not wants to be far off, but instead wants to be close, wants to know us deeply. David, what did he do after he began to realize these amazing thoughts about God? His head almost exploded. He was so overwhelmed with what he was realizing in this moment. He said this. He said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. As David realized that the Almighty God wanted to know him, it blew him away. But then he began to realize that's not all about it. There's even more. And in the next section, David shares the understanding, not just of God's knowledge, but also of God's presence. And he begins it this way. He says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence, O God. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. David realizes that God doesn't just know us, but yet God is always with us. Now, the people of Israel would have understood this in a big picture kind of way, because during the early parts of God beginning to be the people of God's God, he shared with them many times of his desire to be with the people. For instance, when Moses was walking the earth, right before Moses was getting ready to pass away, he shared this word out of Deuteronomy 31. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So the people of God back in that time period, in general, they would have known, okay, God is a God that wants to be with the people. But as David continued to look deeply into this personal relationship with God, he realized that it's not just in the big picture. It's not just generally with the people. Instead, it's a personal, intimate relationship that God wants to have with each and every one of us. And David began to realize that in a deep way. Again, there might be some of you here that are hearing that and saying, not sure I like that very much. Maybe you're thinking about that song, you know, back at Christmas time. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows if you've been bad or good. Yeah, some of you are thinking maybe that proverbial picture of the kid's hand in the cookie jar and getting caught. And maybe you're worried, wait, I'm not sure I like this of God being anywhere and everywhere and knowing me wherever I am. But you see, David wasn't worried about that at all. David was not worried because he, beyond knowing that God knew him and God was always with him, David also knew of the abounding love of God for his life. David knew that if he got off of the path, that God was going to be there. What did he say back in verse 10 again? He says, even there where maybe you're off the path, even there, even when you're off and sinning, even when you're not acting in a way that God would want you to act, even there, your hand, God, will guide me and your strength will support me. You see, David understood that he's sinned sometimes. David understood that he was sometimes off the path where God wanted him to be, but he realized in God's amazing love that God was going to be there to help nurture him, to guide him and get him back on the path, the better path of life that David would want to be on. David realized how blessed it was to be connected to God. David realized the amazing love that God poured out upon him through all the days of his life. And as we look into the third part of this psalm, we begin to see that David understood that God's love, his creative love, even went back all the way to birth. He starts off by saying in verse 13, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Can you imagine God with his human Legos creating the way God would create? "Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." David realizes that God, his yada, his knowledge of us and his presence with us started all the way back. David, how wonderful it is that we start talking about this the week after we celebrated the sanctity of human life. That celebration of life from the day that it first begins. God is sharing this understanding with David that, and this was before they had ultrasounds, that David is getting this understanding of God using those human Legos and knitting us together. It continues on in verse 15. "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Can you see David realizing how special these words are for him? Can you see David just being amazed as God was just creating him and putting him together and doing all those special things and putting us together in his mama's womb? And how important is it for us here today, as we think about this passage of scripture, for those in the room who have dealt with a pregnancy loss? Because David wants us to understand that God both knows us, yadas us, and his presence is with us. It doesn't matter whether we live to a ripe old age of 100 or whether from the date of our conception that we were only there for a few days or moments. David wants us to know that God is both with us and he knows us from that very first moment that life begins. Now, that doesn't mean that someone who has gone through this, that it's not going to hurt, that we're not going to still experience some of that brokenness. But hopefully, as David shares this, we begin to feel at least a little comfort in the midst of that journey to know that no matter how long we're here on this earth, God knows us and is with us, and the eternal God embraces us. David looks at this passage of scripture and he just celebrates that presence of God in her life. Another thought that we might get as we look at this passage and we think of God creating us, we might look at ourselves and say, "God, what happened?" You know, maybe for some of you, maybe I'm saying, "Boy, I'd love to have some of those pretty blue eyes, God, instead of the brown ones that you gave me." Or maybe some of you are saying, I really would love to be an NBA basketball player and I just don't have the height for that. Or maybe some of us are, maybe some of you are like me and you look and you see, man, I got more hair in my arms than I have in my head. And I go, God, what's up? Or maybe some of you're thinking, well, what about some of these health issues that I have? And for some of us, we have those health issues from the day that we were born and we wonder, what's up with that? Well, you know, in John chapter 9, Jesus and the disciples have one of those discussions about just like this conversation we're having. As they're walking down and they walk up upon a person and this person that's sitting there, he's an adult, but he's blind. And they realize he's been blind since birth. And the disciples look at Jesus and say, what's up, Jesus? What happened here? Did he do something wrong? Did his parents, did they sin to do something wrong to have this happen as it did? And you know, because so many of us, that we look at these abnormalities or these health issues that we might have as weaknesses. Some of us don't like them. We want them to be changed. But Jesus, when he gets his questions for the disciples, he says, what, are you kidding me? No, they didn't sin. The parents didn't sin. Just, you're in a fallen world. Ever since that fall, things happen. Brokenness is going to come. You see, we look at our abnormalities or things that are different, and we look at some weaknesses. But God, Jesus says, this is just simply an opportunity for God's power and his love to be able to shine through in the life of this individual. God looks at each and every one of us in our abnormalness, whether that's a word or not, it is today. And God sees us in our abnormalness, and he simply says, wow, another person with the purpose of doing life with me. God just longs to live life with us no matter who we are, where we've been, what we've done, how we look, what's going on in our lives. God says, I just want to be with you. Because of this, God created on purpose for a purpose. And what is that purpose? God knows you and he wants to be with you and he wants to walk with you all the days of your life. No matter how short or how long that life is, God created you for the purpose of sharing life with you. Now, for some of us, we might think of these thoughts and maybe we're struggling with them a little bit. But David, as he considered all that we just shared, what's David thinking? How is he feeling? Same thing as before. It just blows him away as he considers all these thoughts. And he said it this way this time. He says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They can't be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. David is so overwhelmed with this understanding of God looking into his life, no matter how sinful David ever was, no matter how many times he might have walked away, he realizes in this personal relationship with God that this is a God who created him for a purpose of sharing life with him. He knows him, he yadas him. He wants to be with him because of his amazing love for him. As we jump from those first three parts of the passage, David just writes all of this, and we should just be saying, wow, God, you think that much of me? But all of a sudden, in the last part of this text, there's a lot of people that take it and throw it away. You know, starting in verse 19, because we read it and we're like, wait a second, that doesn't seem to go. David wrote all this beautiful stuff about God's relationship with us, and then he writes that. Surely somebody added that in later, but I don't think they did. I truly believe that David would have felt this way. Let's check out what he says. He says, oh God, if only you would destroy the wicked. Get out of my life, you murderers. They blaspheme you. Your enemies misuse your name. Oh Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I despise those who oppose you? Yes, I hate them with a total hatred. For your enemies are my enemies. Does it fit? Does it make sense? And we're scratching our heads and saying, boy, it just doesn't seem to. How does that fit with these beautiful words that God, that David just shared about his relationship with God and God's longing for the purpose of his life? Let me help you see. It was just a few years ago. I was about 16 years old. Don't say it. And I was out hunting back in Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, it's a little bit different in Pennsylvania woods than what it is out in the prairie of Wyoming. Hunting, that's what she was screaming about, right? It was a thicket. You know what a thicket is? Very dense wooded area, saplings, little trees everywhere. I could probably not see more than 50 yards in any direction. But I knew in that area that I was that there was this path that came down through that thicket that the deer traveled a lot. So I had myself in a nice spot just waiting, looking forward to a big old buck to walk down through that lane. And I sat and I waited as patiently as a 16-year-old can wait. And all of a sudden, I began to see movement up in the other end of the thicket. And I knew, I could tell right away, there's two big deer coming down through. And as they kept coming down through, I kept watching and scoping. And finally, I could see the second one was a rack. It was a huge buck. I couldn't wait. I mean, can you imagine? My chest was just pounding with excitement. I had no shot because it was so thick. But I knew as they came down that path that right here, I was going to have that opportunity. And so I waited and anxiously, I was watching them and watching that spot and just waiting for them to come into that area. And all of a sudden they pause. I thought, okay, they're feeding a little bit. But then I started looking closely and I noticed that they were looking at something. And as they kept looking at that, I started realizing there was something behind me that they were looking at. And all of a sudden I heard a twig snap. So I slowly turned to look behind me, and there was the worst color that I could ever imagine seeing. You know what color it was? It was orange. There was another hunter walking down through the lane behind me there. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but he didn't know I was there, and he certainly didn't know the deer were there, and he was just walking down through, and so I just started praying, God, let him move through quickly and let the deer keep coming down through, and I just kept praying and praying and praying until all of a sudden I heard that horrible sound. That deer snorted and the tails went off and off they went the other direction. I never got a shot. Oh, I hated that guy. I just wanted to shoot my gun at anything just to scare the crap out of him. Did I just say crap on stage? But I did. I felt that tense emotion. I was so frustrated and upset. He didn't do anything wrong, but in that moment, he distracted me from the opportunity to fulfill the purpose that I was there to carry out. Do you understand how David's feeling? You see, David, as he opens up those first 18 verses and he sees this God who loves him and cares for him and wants to be on this relationship with him, he sees this God who created him on purpose for the purpose of doing life with him. And then David starts to look around at the things in this life, some of them evil, some of them just stuff that have the potential to distract us, to take our minds off of walking with God. And David just starts saying, God, get them out of my life. I don't want them because I want to walk with you, God. And he starts just sharing this passionate plea for God of getting those things away from him. Do you know what he's talking about? You know, what are those things in your life? What are those squirrels that distract you, that keep you from that deep, personal, powerful relationship with God? We all have them. We all have those things in our lives. And sometimes it's other people. Sometimes it's activities. You name it. We got it. Those things that distract us from being able to fulfill the purpose of walking with God in every moment of our lives. David closes it out by saying this. He says, search me, God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He's inviting God into even a deeper examination of his heart. Know it and know it deeply. God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I'm so nervous about this world that I live in, God, and I want to walk with you. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David longs for that ongoing personal relationship life with the Almighty God who created us on purpose for the purpose of doing life with God. And so we think about that in the midst of each and every one of our days, moment by moment. What is our purpose then? You know, for me as a husband, my purpose is to be the most God-honoring, God-focused husband that I can be. To every moment that I'm with my wife or even away from my wife, to bring honor and glory to God with how I share life with my wife. But on top of that, my purpose is also to help my wife to be who she was created to be, to help her to be in that deep relationship with God. As a dad, my job is to bring honor and glory to God in every moment that I share with my kids, to be a God-honoring parent, and to not just honor God with how I treat my kids, but also the job is to help get my kids to understand this relationship with God that they can have, and to not hinder them in any way from being on that walk with God. As an employee, every Christian should be the best employee that any place of employment has, because we are longing to honor God, to fill out our purpose for God in every moment of our day. So when somebody hires you, if they ask you, are you a Christian, which I know they're not supposed to, we will, which is good. But I know that, you know, if that question is asked or they wonder, do you go to church anywhere? If you say yes, then they should be expecting, man, I'm getting someone really good because of you fulfilling the purpose for which God created you. Every aspect of our life, as we walk with God, becomes that opportunity to fulfill the purpose for which God created us. He was watching you from the moment of your conception. He knew you. He loved you. He was with you all throughout your life. No matter how hard you might at certain times in your life walk away from him, God will always be with you. And he is always longing to bring you back for the reason which he created you. Let's pray. God, we are amazed. Just like David was amazed by you, oh God, we too are amazed. Like like Legos in the hands of a child, Lord God, you created us. And you made us not just haphazardly, not just for the sake of doing it. You created us on purpose, for the purpose, so that you would have the opportunity to share life with us. And for those that get to know you, Lord Jesus, and give their lives to you, it's not just life here on this earth, but instead it is an eternal life that we have in you. God, forgive us for those moments where we got distracted, where we walked away from you. And God, examine our hearts and help us by the guidance of your Holy Spirit to lead us back onto that path so that we might better, more closely realize that blessed life that we have when we walk with you. God, thank you for this word this day that you share with us. We pray these things in your name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.